ESPN's Turon Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. We welcome in Turon Davenport to the program, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, presented by Bart Durham Injury Law and fueled by Parman Energy. Titans taking on the Indianapolis Colts this weekend. TD, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Oh, man. Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, TD, I got to say, it's not very often I look at an NFL game and it has, like, you know, a college football non-conference stinker feel to it. And it's a 14.5-point spread with the Titans heading into this one against the Colts. We know that the Titans have some injury problems right now. How do you kind of put into scope just, like, the odds that are against the Titans heading into this game against an Indianapolis team that probably should be undefeated based on the way they played this year? I mean, the one game they lost, they handed to the Rams. How do you kind of view this game looking at the Colts for the second time?
Man, it's like that old saying, right? You never take a knife to a gunfight. Well,
yeah,
that's what they're doing this weekend. And you look at the way things are probably going to pan out. No Calvin Ridley, probably no Jeffrey Simmons, more than likely. It could be a bad situation. You know, a run defense that was already not good is going to be even worse without Jeffrey Simmons, who, as Denard Wilson said, is playing some of the best three technique in all of football. And then you got Jonathan Taylor running the ball as well as anybody in football, leading the league in rushing. And, yeah, it doesn't set up for a good marriage, that's for sure.
Yeah, so obviously, it's been the focus anyway, but TD, it even feels as we continue to advance through this season, I feel like it gets to the point where it's almost all just about, like, Cam Ward and how's he doing and is there progress and all that stuff. First of all, like, did you feel like they did some things? You've talked a lot this year and asked a lot of questions this year about, you know, doing things that suit his skill set that can give him a higher chance. Do you feel like they made any strides in that way in terms of their approach to the game last week?
Well, I mean, Cam and I both had the thoughts of hallelujah when the Tim DK play happened. You know, this deep over the transcontinental, as Coach Matt calls it, with the play action tied to it, is just something that I've been calling for so long, because you go back and you watch Tim DK at Florida, man, you see this dude running those routes, you know, with that 4.3 speed, and you see the poor corner trying to keep up with him, and it was easy money, you know, and Cam throws that so well, as you saw last Sunday. So I think that's a good example. And then in addition to that, you look at the play action. They start to work more play action, right? They went to that five times. He hit it five times, 92 yards. So these are all good things that they did. Now, obviously, they have to do something to get him to protect the football better. But, I mean, I think there were some strides that were made. That was what I believe his second best statistical outing, you know, minus the turnovers, which are you can't take those away. But you look at his passing yards, it was the second best outing he's had.
So, TD, you know, we know Brownlee's gone. Snead, who knows, may or may not have just played his last snap for the Titans. We'll see how that goes. And then you've got McCreary out there that needs a new contract at some point, and I have no idea whether or not he's getting that here. Are the Titans really about to try to find three starting-level cornerbacks in one offseason? Like, what do we think that's going to look like the plan is there?
Man, that one's difficult. It looks like that's what they may end up doing. I don't get the mystery of why Roger McCreary is not a guy that they want to keep around. I know I asked Denard Wilson about the cutback in reps, you know, that he's had. He's right around like 57%. He was 69% last year. And he said that, you know, it's about stopping the run and, you know, having bigger bodies in there. But here's the thing. They're 28th in run defense.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, what are we doing here? So, yeah, I don't know. You look at free agency, they're going to have money. You look at a guy like Tariq Woolen will be available, but Seattle is kind of shopping him. So if the team that he's on is shopping him, we saw what happened, you know, with the last corner that was shot that this team acquired. And, you know, look at the situation they're in now.
So TD, obviously, you know, with the offensive line, Latham, I mean, it's been, you know, you got the hip and you've got some tough matchups, but also, you know, you want to see more from him. I think with Dan Moore, at least they've gotten to the point where, you know, it's better than it has been. It's still, to me, like, it's not good enough. It's not like a long-term answer, but it's at least better than it has been. Bill Callahan now, which, you know, I know people are like, oh, Bill Callahan, you know, he can't cut. But obviously the guy has decades of evidence to the contrary. I mean, to me, that was one of the biggest questions about firing Brian is that, you know, Bill's not going to be here daily coaching these guys anymore. You'd think that still would matter. Where do things go from here with this offensive line?
Oh, it's really just hang on to the teachings that they've gotten. We got to talk to Matt Jones. I didn't make it over to Scott Fuchs. I wish I did because I wanted to talk to both of those guys. But in talking to Matt Jones, he was like, man, nothing has changed. We're going to continue to work the techniques that we were taught and that we passed on to the offensive line. And, I mean, they were on Bertha and Olga yesterday. And, you know, that whole Cali's corner over there, Caliwood, it's still intact. It just doesn't have, you know, Walt Disney is gone from Disney World. You know what I mean? You don't have the orchestrator over there. But it's just they're continuing to go. I think the big thing to me is, okay, we saw Skowronski really elevate, you know, under Callahan. I wonder if he's going to continue to do that or if he's going to regress. And then also you look at, you know, Latham, and when is he going to get out of this funk that he's in?
TD, how, as you watch the Titans defense, we know there's a lot of problems with every area of the team right now, but how big of an issue has Cody Barton been in your mind to this point?
It just seems like he's a step slow. And it's just crazy to me because this guy looked so good in training camp.
Yeah.
You know, so good. The energy he was bringing, the leadership, the advice, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure. It just, he looks a step slow to everything. And, you know, that could be in part that guy next to him, 33, man, Cedric Gray is playing some outstanding football. You know, and that guy's triggering, and he's going to the football, and he's doing things that you want a young linebacker to do. But it's just, you know, the Cody Barton situation is disappointing because I thought there was going to be a lot more from him. But to his credit, what I love about him is the energy. Like, he still brings the energy, and he's one of those guys that when you talk to him, you know, you feel it. Right. And you smile because you feel the good vibes coming from him. So that has some value. But, man, you got to match that with better play on the football field.
Meanwhile, I'm looking up at the screen. I see Peter Schrager predicting Jonathan Taylor 200 yards against the Titans. Can't say I necessarily disagree. Running back on the other side, TD, I feel like Tajay Spears, you're seeing some explosiveness, maybe warranting a little bit more work. And I'm a little concerned about Tony Pollard. And I know you can always look at these things and say, okay, what's the offensive line doing? But running back right now, first of all, do you feel like in the short term this season that Spears is warranting a little bit more evening of the workload? And also, do you think that we're seeing kind of Pollard just slowing down a little bit at an age that running backs do often, and that's just going to be another position that the Titans are going to have to look at in the offseason?
Yeah, you know, Spears, that explosiveness, and even coming into this year, Brian Callahan had expressed the want to balance it out, right? Distribute the workload a little more evenly. So you're definitely seeing that, you know, what he talked about. But I think you look at Pollard, you know, the thing is he still runs so hard, but he doesn't. It's not the same explosive running ability that he has. He's still a solid running back, but I do think this might be his last year here. And I mean, the good thing about the running back position is there's a lot of them, you know, every year. And if they could get somebody to, you know, first You know, they got to do something to try to get Tajay healthy more consistently. But if they could get somebody to pair with him, and I think they'll be in good shape. You can't forget about, you know, Julius Chestnut and Kalel Mullins when they're back. Now, I'm not saying that they're huge difference makers and it's going to be, you know, a rushing attack like the Colts when Mullins comes back. But I think, you know, that collection of guys, that they could get the job done. But it's just different when you have a running back that, you know, could change things as far as like being the actual threat and get you those yards that you need. You know, you turn around and hand the ball off to him and, you know, he pops a 10-yard run. He pops a 40-yard run. They need that.
Well, Teron, I appreciate your time and your perspective as always, buddy. Appreciate you being with us this morning. Have fun this weekend in Indy, and we will talk to you next week.
Yeah, for sure, man. Appreciate you guys. Take it easy.
Yep, Teron Davenport, presented by Bart Durham Injury Law and fueled by Parman Energy. We will react to what TD had to say. We'll look ahead to the Titans and the Colts. Coming up next, we got Pigskin Pick'em at 8:30. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Vandy fans, it's time to party. Commodores are ranked in the top 10. College game day is coming to town. And to celebrate, 102.5 The Game will be broadcasting live today from noon to 6 at the new Party Foul near Vandy in Midtown at 2031 Broadway. Again, that's 2031 Broadway. Plus, we'll be giving away a pair of tickets to the sold-out game against Missouri coming up tomorrow. So coming out to the all-new Party Foul in Midtown today from noon until 6. We will get into the Vanderbilt and Missouri game again before we close out the program. We got Picks Again Pickup coming here in just a few minutes where we will make our selections as well. Appreciate TD for being with us in the last segment. Joe, I got to say, like, this is a very, even for the Titans, like, you know, by the time the game comes around, you look at a matchup and you say, well, I mean, it's the National Football League. I mean, the Titans have lost a lot of games, but they've also lost a lot of games by like 7 points or 10 points or 4 points. Like, you know, they've been competitive in some of these games over the last few years. I got to tell you, like, this is a game that, like, kind of feels to me like it's, I don't know, you know, Tennessee taking on UAB or something walking into this. This is what it feels like to me. And it's not that. I know it's not that. But that's the feel that this one has to it for the Titans walking into Indianapolis on Sunday.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's like, as bad as the Titans have been, there aren't that many games, I don't think, where it's like, again, even like last year, of course, none of us expected them to go win at Houston, right? But when they did, it was like, well, that's the NFL. If they win at Indy Sunday, it will be like an upset like you're talking about. It'll be like, sorry to bring it up, like Georgia State going into Tennessee. And
thanks.
Yeah, Jeremy Pruitt's team not being able to handle that. I mean, it will be. It'll be that level of like shock. That's how bad Titans are, but also how good the Colts appear to be on a weekly basis. So no, I'm with you. And it has, like, even think back to like Titans at Chiefs with like Malik Willis at quarterback.
Yeah.
Right. Of course, like that week are like, yeah, they're screwed, but still you're watching that game unfold. And it's like, one, that is a Vrabel thing. He definitely had a lot of games like that where they exceeded what you expected, but still it was also, it's NFL, man. They got players. And that was still a solid football team, and so they were right there. If that were to happen this Sunday, I don't know. Other than like, what, you know, the Colts fumble 5 times, you block a punt, some weird crap. If it's not accompanied by like really weird stuff, then like it really would be shocking to me that this is a remotely competitive football game.
Well, and it's a combination of how well the Colts are playing, the fact that the Titans aren't any good, and the good players that the Titans have, a lot of them aren't going to be playing in this game, right? Like Simmons and Ridley and, you know, Snead's already on IR. And, you know, look, we talked about this with Snead. It's not like Snead's been good, but he's also better than what you've got behind him. So that's where they're at right now with this. Like, it just feels like with Jeffrey Simmons looking like he's not going to be in there, with Ridley dealing with the hamstring stuff too, with all the problems we know they have even with those guys. And then you look at Indianapolis and the way that they've been playing, specifically on offense and the way that they've been playing. And I don't know how many stops the Titans are going to get. Like, it doesn't feel like they're going to get a whole lot of stops. And it's still crazy, you know, at some level, to be talking about that with Daniel Jones being the opposing quarterback. But at this point, the way he's played this year, like, I think you just kind of have to, until proven otherwise, look at that offense and assume that that's what they're going to be. And Jonathan Taylor has been an absolute freak show so far this year.
Yeah, he might be the best back in the league right now. And at times he has looked like he's right there. And, of course, he's had the injuries and the contract thing. But it's peak Jonathan Taylor right now. And, yeah, just like a lot of good, you know, Warren's just a great pick. It's just a great pick. I still can't – I have no idea, like, you know, Colson Loveland I'm sure will be a fine player. But, like, I go back to the draft and people sitting there telling me that Colson Loveland was going to be a better player than Tyler Warren in the NFL. Man, watch college football. Guy's a monster. And then they have just a lot of good receivers. Not great, but a lot of good all over the field when they're not fumbling right before the goal line. So – it's I mean, look, Indy, Ben, all you guys, I don't know if you guys were all like just stuck with Chris Ballard through all this stuff. We had a lot of fun with Chris Ballard and his job security, but here we are again. I mean, the Colts have found a lot of good players to fill in some holes, and it's a pretty sound all around roster. And also Shane Steichen is all of a sudden a genius. And that was another thing that we wondered about before too, right? It's amazing how well it's worked out for them given the expectations, you know? When is that going to happen for the Titans where it's like we expect them to be like a 6-11, 7-10 kind of team and they go, you know, 13-4?
Yeah. It feels like a lifetime away at the moment.
Cause that's like what the Colts are going to do, I think.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Like that's insane.
Yeah. Like they're legitimately good. They are. And, you know, Shane Steichen, as I said earlier in the week, probably the coach of the year right now in the NFL. And, again, like, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I said it kind of feels like, I don't know, UAB walking into Tennessee here. It's a 14.5-point line, which is obviously not what, you know, one of those lopsided college football matchups would be. It's a pretty darn big line in the NFL. 14.5 points, man. And, again, with Simmons hurt, Snead on IR, Ridley hurt. You know, the Titans don't have a lot of good football players, and a lot of the ones that they do have that are good are not playing in this game. Like, it would be, you know, I'm not going to call it like the greatest NFL upset of all time because it's not that, but it would be stunning if the Titans came out of there with a win over the weekend.
Yeah. If they're competitive, I'd be stunned. If they are, to me, I think that the only way to that is your offense just having a really good day, which we aren't used to seeing, but at least there are guys up front. Maybe Latham clicks in this week. Maybe they can run it some. And then Cam plays out of his mind and they hit some of those shots. And I mean, that's the only pathway to me to staying in this game is that you just – You could still have some players who I think can play who are going to be on the field on offense. You know, like DK, is he gonna build on last week? You know, things like that. You know, can they get the tight ends the football and stuff like that? I mean, I think they can have some offensive success if Cam Ward plays well and he gets time to throw.
Can he hold on the ball this week? Are they gonna drop one again?
And at some point, I don't remember what, like, Dave Craig had that one year, but it was a long time ago, and he, like, fumbled, like, every game. But, yeah, at some point you need to stop the bleeding on that.
That'd be nice.
So we can stop talking about his hands.
You got the Pigskin Pick'em coming up next. Great weekend coming up. You got Tennessee, Kentucky in that border war. You got Vanderbilt hosting College Game Day. You got the Titans that are also involved in football this weekend. We'll get to all of it coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road. A standings update in the competition. Couple of really good weeks last night in the competition. And one that was not so much. Ian Safar, 6-0. 6-0 for Ian Safar last week with his lock. A perfect week for Ian. I went 5-1. My beloved Green Bay Packers, the only team letting me down, they did not cover in that matchup. But 5-1 for me. Rex Road, 1-5.
Good Lord.
With no lock. which brings the overall standings. Ian Safar in first place, 27-21 overall, 4-4 on his locks, 31 points. Joe Rexroad still clinging to second place, 20-28 overall, 5-3 on his locks, 25 points. I am 23-25. Finally got a lock, 1-7 now on the locks. Good for 24 points. So the one lock I got was the one lock I did not want to get. Alabama taking down Tennessee, -8.5. So there's your standings update in the competition. We begin. College game day coming to town tomorrow. It's a top 15 matchup. Missouri taking on Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt is a 2.5 point favorite in this matchup. Ian Safar, who we got?
Oh, I'm sticking with him. I've been rolling with Vandy this year, man. I am sticking with it. It's going to be difficult game. I don't have a great read on Missouri. I haven't seen them much. I watched a little bit of the game versus Alabama last week. I know they have that good running back, but I think I'm gonna take Vandy to win by a field goal, or at least cover. Yep,
Vandy to cover in the matchup. Joe Rexroad, Vanderbilt in Missouri. Vandy favored by 2.5.
I've actually been quite a Vanderbilt hater this year, and I was wrong last week and amid all my terrible picks. So I apologize to Vandy fans if me picking Vandy screws them over, but I think they're going to win a close game, and just 2.5 points. I think they're going to win by like 3-7 points here in a very good football game. Give me Vanderbilt. Sorry, Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt lock.
Locking it down.
Drinkwitz is an idiot. They're going to win by 14 points in this game. Vanderbilt by 14, shoving it to Eli Drinkwitz. And I will applaud, stand and applaud is what I will do for Vanderbilt in this game when they do this tomorrow. Vanderbilt, -2.5, Vanderbilt by 14 in this matchup. Tennessee taking on Kentucky, a team and a program that they've had a lot of success against over the years. Tennessee is an 8.5 point favorite in the matchup. Joe Rexroad, who do we have between the Vols and the Wildcats?
You know, Kentucky's still playing tough D. Now, I think Texas and Arch Manning can make you look even more like you're playing tough D when you play them. But they play tough D. They're still fighting. And I don't love, 8.5. But I think Tennessee is going to – like, Tennessee just beats Kentucky. And they typically beat them by double figures. And I think they're going to win this game by 10 to 14 points. Give me Tennessee, and I'll give the points.
I will go Tennessee as well. I think Tennessee's offense is going to be too much in this game. And I think this is a game where Tennessee's defense should play well. If they don't, that's a big problem to me. But I think they should, and I think they will. And I think Tennessee's going to win by double figures in this one. So I'll take Vols -8.5. Ian, who we got?
I don't know. I'm a little bit worried about this game for Tennessee for some reason. The road games for Heupel have been just disappointing. And, I don't think Kentucky's very good, which is going to give Tennessee, the benefit of the doubt here. Plus, I don't know, is there a worry of a trap game here? Looking ahead to Oklahoma, I am a little bit worried about this game, but I still am going to stick with the overall tradition and history. I'm going to take Tennessee to cover, but I don't feel good about it.
We got a clean sweep of Vanderbilt and Tennessee so far here on the program, so we'll see how that works. The Titans and the Colts. The Colts are still a 14.5 point favorite in this matchup. I'll start on this one. I've already burned my lock, but give me the Colts -14.5. I feel great about it. Ian Safar, who we got in this matchup?
Yeah, I also thought about locking this, but I'm not, just because 14.5 is so much, and maybe they get some lucky late touchdown, the Titans. But I don't know. It's hard to imagine they're going to score enough points to cover. But I am not going to lock it, but I will take the Colts to -14.5. Yeah.
Rexroad, are we going a full Colts sweep here?
Yeah, and I've also very close to using my lock, but not doing it. But this is no way for us to make up ground on Ian, Robbie. We all have the same picks on these three, so we're not going to.
I can't just lose.
I almost went to Kentucky.
Yeah, I needed you to go to Kentucky, It's like, yeah, come on, man, mix it up. But, yeah, Colts, and I'm close to using my life, but I'm with Ian. It's like, it's like a 21-point game, and the Titans get some garbage touchdown or something. That half scares me away a little bit.
We move to the individual portion of the program. Ian Safar, your first individual selection.
Okay, I went with this last week for my lock. I'm going to stick with it this week for my lock. Oregon, -31.5 at home versus Wisconsin.
Guarantee!
Will Wisconsin score a single point? That's been a problem for them lately. We'll see if they can actually, you know, score some offensive points in this game. Ian going Oregon minus 31.5 against Wisconsin. Rex Road, your first individual selection.
So I'm going to jump back on the, I think this worked for Robbie last week, and I'm on it this week. South Florida at Memphis. Memphis is getting 6.5 at home. Memphis disappointing loss recently. South Florida just, I mean, they look really good, and I'm going to go ahead and give those points at Memphis.
Give me the Tampa Bay Buccaneers minus 4.5 against the New Orleans Saints. Baker Mayfield has talked about that matchup. It's usually very chippy. He accused the Saints of taking some cheap shots out there, so probably going to be an ugly game, but I'll take Tampa to win by a touchdown, so I'll take Tampa minus the 4.5 in that matchup. Joe Rexrod, your second individual selection.
Okay, NC State at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh minus 6.5. You know, Pittsburgh, friend of the show, Pat Narduzzi, they're 5-2. They should be 7-0. They should be 7-0 and in great position to make the playoff. They blew two games, West Virginia and Louisville, but they had switched to a freshman quarterback playing much better. I think they'll win by double figures at home against NC State.
So going with Pitt in that matchup. Give me Ole Miss plus 5.5 against Oklahoma in a pivotal game.
I looked at
in
this
the
one.
SEC.
Yes.
A pivotal matchup. It's on the road for Ole Miss. So that's a back-to-back set on the road that's really tough, going to Georgia and then to Oklahoma. I don't know that Ole Miss is going to win the game, but I do think they'll cover. So I'll go Ole Miss plus the 5.5 against Oklahoma. Ian, so far, your second individual selection.
I've been steering away from the over-unders, but I think I'm going to try and dip back into the well this week. A college under Syracuse at Georgia Tech. Give me under 53.5. I think Syracuse's quarterback is still out. So, yeah. Syracuse at Georgia Tech under 53.5.
Going under 53.5 in that matchup. My final individual selection. This is going to be a big win for the Hogs this weekend, Joe. Arkansas minus 2.5 against Hugh Freeze and Auburn in the loss for Hugh Freeze that will seal his fate with the Tigers. Bobby Petrino gets it done. That offense rolls all over Auburn. Arkansas wins by double digits against Auburn in this game. I'll take Arkansas minus 2.5 against the Auburn Tigers. Ian Safar, your final individual selection.
I also looked at this one, or at that one as well. I am going to go to the NFL for my final pick this week. These teams are banged up. It could be an ugly game. Give me San Francisco plus 2.5 at Houston. I think San Francisco can win the game.
Going San Francisco plus 2.5 on the road against the Houston Texans. Joe Rexrod, your final individual selection.
Yep, also finishing in the NFL, Jets at Bengals, another minus 6.5. I mean, Joe Flacco out there throwing it around, making some – he's enjoying sitting at the bar by himself. It's a beautiful joy of life that people should enjoy. And I like what they got going on right now, and I like nothing at all about the Jets. Give me the Bengals minus 6.5.
Going with Bengals minus 6.5. Joe, what was your lock again? Remind me.
Oh, geez. I didn't pick a lock.
Well, it's time to pick one.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. I'm so nervous. Give me Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh. Make Pittsburgh my lock.
Guarantee. All right. On with Pitt. And the doozer, Narduzzi, with his lock.
Don't let me down, Narduzzi.
Friend of the show. We'll see how that goes for Pittsburgh in this matchup.
Just a little heads up here. I almost went with this. I'm a little bit over, you know, I talked myself into circles trying to decide. Maybe this is why it's called the Vrabel special.
Yeah.
Is because you don't see it coming. But here they are against Cleveland at home, coming off of a game against the Titans. Couple of games here, waiting for a letdown. When you're playing a bad team, you don't have to put up a lot of points. It's not like Cleveland. You have to worry about Cleveland scoring a lot. And that's when, you know, New England takes the foot off the gas. So I considered the Browns plus 7 and an under on this game here.
Hey, I mean, definitely could happen. Definitely could happen. Although, the Browns, the thing about the Browns is they're bad. But their defense is so good that they're going to hang around in games like that. Like, unlike the other bad teams, like the Titans don't really have a redeeming quality. The Jets don't really have a redeeming quality. Brown's got a really darn good defense.
Yeah, no, they do. I thought about that one too. I did, for sure, because it's just one of those. You know, they lost one game this year. What, when they fumbled, you know, had five turnovers, and the yep. Browns are the type of team that rips the ball out of Drake May's hands a couple times, and all of a sudden you're in a grinder.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We will give our final thoughts on the Vanderbilt-Missouri matchup. Titans taking on the Colts, all that ahead. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 1025 the game. This Sunday, check out our NFL Game of the Week. The Giants taking on the Eagles at noon on Sports Talk 830. NFL Game of the Week presented by Circus Sportsbook Kentucky and Macero in 12 South. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. So all of us have picked Vanderbilt to win tomorrow against Missouri. You got College Game Day coming into town. Vanderbilt is the darling of the sport. Is there too much positivity right now? Are Vanderbilt fans worried at all about all the love they're getting right now?
I'm sure some are. Like, you got to be. If you're a Vanderbilt fan, you're already, like, pinching yourself often, right? And, like, is this real? And then it's so – all of this stuff is so new and unusual. I got to think some. I mean, you should be enjoying it, right? But then we come up on the next test and the next game, and it's like, well, if you lose this game, all this stuff goes away, and now you're – you know, we're back to, like, oh, gee, they might only have an 8 or 9 win season, right? So, yeah, I'm sure the Vanderbilt fans are nervous, but – I, you know, try to enjoy it and understand that, like, it is going to be a very good football game tomorrow. Close game.
Yeah. Look, we'll see. Drinkwitz is a bum, so I'm pulling for Clark Lee in this game and Vanderbilt to win by a lot of points. I'd like to just flatten him real quick, but we'll see how that goes. Like, if it's in a bad – it's put these two idiots have put me in a bad spot. Because, you know, I'm a Tennessee fan. You get, you know, Vanderbilt is a rival of Tennessee. Alabama is a rival of South Carolina or of Tennessee as well. And yet I find myself looking at the matchups this weekend. I'm like, yeah, I'd like to see Vanderbilt crush Drinkwitz, and I wouldn't mind seeing Alabama crush Beamer again and just keep them down there. Just keep pushing them down. That's where I'm at with all this stuff.
Yeah, well, look, you're having a hell of a fun. Year with the Beamster there. I mean, it's so high, it's bad, and it's really going to be interesting to see kind of what unfolds there. But Drinkwitz is very different. I mean, I didn't think they'd be this good this year. Drinkwitz is a way better coach than Beamer. I mean, you could acknowledge that, right?
I mean, I guess. And Beamer's come closer to making the playoff than he has, hasn't he?
Well. Yeah, I guess. I guess this year, maybe I'm too much a prisoner of the moment of this year. But it's like, you know, the Missouri lost some big time players. South Carolina kept big time players.
Yes.
Right. So, and meanwhile, it's like completely opposite directions. I think this year is showing us something with both of them.
Do you think Virginia Tech is going to try to hire Shane Beamer? Like, do you think that's going to happen?
Oh yeah,
I think they probably would, although I agree with I mentioned it, like Grace Rainer wrote a column for us, and I agree with it. I think James Franklin should be heavily pursued by that school, and I think that's exactly the kind of place that needs a guy like him, because they have really fallen behind in terms of NIL and all the fundraising, and that is what he does. But yeah, I think, like, if I'm Virginia Tech and I had a choice between those two, I go Franklin a million times out of a million. He's done so much more than Shane Beamer. And also, this is the son of your legendary coach. I just think that's a bad idea. It's like the idea, like, of Eddie George coming back to coach the title. Like, no, just, you know, don't, just hire the best person right there for that job. And I think Franklin would be a way better hire. But yeah, I think definitely that they would probably walk to South Carolina and bring him in if they could.
I mean, one day Peyton Manning's going to be the OC for the Vols. I've heard that for a long time. Heard that for my entire life. We'll see if that happens.
Peyton Manning?
Yep.
Hey,
go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Or possibly AD too. And now that Danny White needs to be fired, I think maybe Peyton Manning would be awesome AD. So again, sometimes are we being trolled or is this person serious? But on the YouTube chat, okay, Mark says, Ward just needs to shut up and play ball. It's sad and weak that he felt the need to try and make a point that playing QB is not easy. He's a media train wreck. Like, is that serious? That person can't
I'm telling
serious,
you, there
right?
were some Titans fans that were legitimately mad about his is having fun with the media on Wednesday calling a play.
What is wrong with people?
I don't know. Of all the things to be mad about with this team right now, that is so far down the list. It's not even funny. It's not even on the list.
Speaking of what is wrong with people, we don't have time for this, but I am absolutely earmarking this for a rant for next week. There's a dude who wrote a guest column in the Knoxville News Sentinel about how Tennessee needs to get rid of Rocky Top because it's not backing the blue to sing those lyrics. I just want to give you a little preview of something next week. Oh, dude, you got to see this. It's really amazing. Kirk Wolf, guest columnist. Back the blue, Tennessee. Retire Rocky Top. Well, it's an absolute beaut. Can't wait.
Didn't somebody from Alabama last week try to say that Rocky Top like is not about Tennessee, as if it's like singing about some random place in North Carolina or something?
Oh, I missed that.
The song literally says Rocky Top, Tennessee, but you know.
I missed that one. Rocky Top is just under fire all of a sudden. My goodness.
I guess so. It's a crazy time that we're living in. Hey, is Nick Saban getting booed tomorrow at College Game Day at Vanderbilt? What do we think?
Absolutely. He better be.
I hope so.
Boo the heck out of that guy. Have you seen all these Vanderbilt students who are like basically doing a training camp for kickers to try to get ready for the McAfee thing?
Yes.
Isn't that kind of like violate the spirit of the whole thing?
Yeah, you're supposed to have not kicked, right?
That's what I thought. I mean, McAfee's not going to put out big money if he – it gets one of these people who've been practicing all
week. I mean, I feel like they make it every week now, though. It's like some random kid out there drilling like some 42-yarder or something.
But it's almost always the second try.
Yeah.
And they put more money on it, and then they make it.
Yeah. Now, I'm interested to see how Saban gets treated tomorrow. He's talked a lot of mess about Vanderbilt over the last couple of years. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, need to shove it to Saban this week.
I agree.
I agree, but also I agree with Aria Gerson, who suggested that Tony Vitello should have been the guest picker so that like it would just be like this whole, like everyone's saying how much they hate him on his way out of town. That would have been awesome.
Boy.
He would have loved that.
Vanderbilt fans did not react well to that.
I thought that was a great idea, but Nate Bargatze will be good. It'll be good.
Yeah. Like
it's the obvious choice.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably where I would have gone with that too. So we'll see how it goes. I got news for you. He's probably going to pick Vanderbilt. There are some people that are mad about that, by the way, as if like all these guest pickers that they bring in don't pick their own team all the time.
Wait, people that are mad that he's going to pick Vanderbilt?
Like not Vanderbilt fans that are mad about it. Like I've looked at some of the replies when he was announced as the guest picker, and it's like, well, gee, I wonder who he's going to pick. It's like, yeah, that's what they do with all these guest pickers, guys. If you pay attention.
Yeah, we must have an objective guest picker.
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy.
We can just get mad about anything. That's the lesson.
Well, hope everybody has a fun weekend. If you're heading out to College Game Day tomorrow, enjoy it. We will be back on Monday to discuss all things that happened over the weekend. Pred's got a couple this weekend as well, so I'll keep you updated on all that. Next Man Up with Jake Lyman. Coming up next, you're listening to 102.5 The Game.